She's an award-winning feature writer, podcaster, former Canada Talks host, who works with the likes of National Geographic and Canadian Geographic. It's our weekly visit with Liz Beattie on Canada Now. Liz, jumping on a bit early, we really appreciate that, and we find you in beautiful Banff today.
Yes, in busy, beautiful, sunny downtown Banff, yes. Everybody is here enjoying this gorgeous town on this gorgeous day.
Well, I tell you, I am so happy you're there. We've talked about Banff before on the show. I consider it to be one of the most beautiful places our country has to offer. So who can blame you if you didn't want to leave? And I want to talk about your trip and some of the stuff that you've experienced so far on the trip. Tell us a bit about the Grand Railway Hotels.
Yeah, well, I've been staying at the Fairmont Banff Spring, which I actually have a family connection to that because I have like a long, long, long lost relative who was head of the railway at the time that this hotel was being refurbished. So that's kind of cool. But, you know, more interesting than that is just that, you know, these hotels are what made Banff a destination. You know, they said, I think Van Horn was the one who originally built the Banff Springs, and he said, well, we can't export the scenery, so let's import the tourists. And, you know, they built these huge hotels with the railway and brought in people from all over the world. So that's, you know, that's sort of the root of what's happening here today, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and you've really been diving into adventure culture there.
Yeah, so that's the other thing is that, you know, they realized that when all these people were coming, particularly all these Europeans, they wanted to get out into the mountains and they wanted to keep them safe. So they brought over these Swiss guides and it started this whole mountaineering culture back here. And then they started building from the Grand Hotels, the railways also started building these backcountry lodges where, I mean, hard to believe given the equipment and technology they had back in, but, you know, people, you know, hiking and skiing to these backcountry lodges. And so I stayed at the Fairmont Banff Springs, had this great historical tour and whatnot, got a sense of all that. But then I left with Canadian Mountain Holidays and we helicoptered into one of these, into the Bobby Burns Lodge, which is in this region that, you know, people have been exploring and hiking into for, you know, for 100 years. And that has been a real trip, let me tell you.
Yeah. So heli hiking, is that what that is?
Yeah, so they have a summer and a winter program, so you can heli ski, which just is like insanity. It's just unbelievable the stuff that they do. But you can also heli hike, and so, you know, I mean, they take you by helicopter from the lodge, which you've already helicoptered into, and then you go up to these like sweet spots, and you hike and climb up to the, you know, the sort of like the glacier bowls of these mountains, and I mean, and that's the sort of leisurely route. There's also another more demanding route, which I finally tried yesterday.
And how did that go?
Well, let me just tell you, it's called a Via Ferrata. And yeah, it's basically they go and they put these like rebar step holds and you kind of like, you know, lock in with these sort of cords that are attached to a harness on you. So it's pretty safe, except for that you're really like climbing a mountain like a real here. And it sort of historically goes to the Dolomites when, in I think it was World War II, they were trying to move soldiers through passes without anybody knowing. And so they were, you know, sending them up to the top of the mountain. So anyway, I thought, oh, well, you know, this is just going to be, you know, we're not going to be that high up. Anyway, I'm like, you know, it's like climbing up sort of 10-story buildings and zip lining across these glacial gorges with water like spraying up all over the place. And it was just such a trip. Very physically demanding, but you know, the cool thing is that these guides, like, they're not just there to keep you safe, but they're also there to assess you and figure out, okay, what's your limits? And then, you know, they're so skilled and they want to not just give you a neat experience, but they want you to sort of feel what it's like to push yourself, because that's part of, you know, adventure culture.
Yeah. Well, good you have the guides there, though I don't think I'd impress any of the guides if they asked me to do what you had just done. And going across, you know, that zip line, it's like this bridge, if I'm not mistaken. It's like this bridge that you go across that, because I think of Indiana Jones. Like, I think of the Indiana Jones movie, like when he goes across that rickety bridge you know, and then of course, it, you know, he breaks it and it falls and all. Yeah, I'm not saying that happened with you, but it's like only the wide as a body, right? And you go across.
Actually, I got to tell you, it's not even that. Like, there's the zip lines where you're like flying across. But then there, I'd have to check this. But I think it's called a Burma Bridge, and it's actually like a tightrope, and then you've got two metal ropes on each side that you hold on to, and you kind of walk like a tightrope person across it. So it's not even like pieces of wood or something.
It's like going across like a 2x4 or something, right?
It's like a rope. It's like a metal cord, and you hold on to two metal cords on each side. But, you know, to be honest, that's not the, for me, the challenging part mentally was the heights thing, because I kind of faced into my fears yesterday and sort of got over it. Yeah, you know, climbed up like these sheer rock faces and stuff, because I'm like terrified of heights, so. But it was cool. These guys are so chill, and they're like, "Yeah, you know, you're good. You're good."
What did they tell you to do though? Just look straight, look forward. Don't look down. Look around. Look forward.
Yeah, exactly. And you just sort of, you know, they're just so calm, and they just instill confidence in you. And you just, it's one foot at a time, one step at a time. And you know, if worst comes to worst, they'll tie a rope around you and haul you up, I guess. But I was trying not to be that person, that girl.
I love, I'm seeing like a picture of it right now, and it's like I like how you're like, I don't know how high up, and they give you these little helmets, like like that helmet is going to save you if you were to fall over.
Yeah.
Not that you would, but if you were to fall over, well, luckily I've got this helmet on.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the great thing is, I mean, that was very ambitious, and it was really neat for the story that I'm working on for this Destination Canada podcast to really experience that. And I'm grateful for the guides for pushing me to do that. But, you know, you don't need to do that to get in contact, you know, get that connection with nature around here, because that's what the adventure culture is. Like, if you're in Banff, I mean, you know, from canoeing on the Bow River to, you know, gondola rides to just like hiking trails everywhere. There's horseback riding. Horses are another like huge tradition in terms of getting people into the mountains. You can rent a bike or an e-bike, you know, trail all the way to Canmore from here. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Just check out Banff Tourism and you'll see just the wide, wide range of things. So you can be a mere mortal and do cool things that really connect you to adventure and mountain culture here. And I think that's what I love about it. And it's changed a lot over the last 10 years. I'm just finding since the last time I was here, there's just so many options.
Oh, wow. Well, it's almost been about that long since I've been there. And that's the beauty about Banff as well. Like I had been there in the winter, so I'm trying to, and it's great that I get to talk to you because I feel like I get to know what it's like in the summertime. Like, do you have, and you're still there, so maybe you need to be removed from it a little bit to fully answer this question, but I'll ask you anyway, do you have a preference in terms of activity in Banff, be it summer versus winter?
Well, I don't think I'm brave enough. I mean, as brave as I had to be for the Via Ferrata, I don't know that I'm brave enough to do heli skiing. So, but I wouldn't mind doing like regular skiing here. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that it really is a year-round place. I don't think I have a strong preference, but it really is a year-round culture, and just the people here are just so remarkable and so friendly. And afterwards, you know, just so many great restaurants here. We're checking out a new one here, Brazen, tonight, which is supposed to be really fabulous. Mm. And, you know, there was like Three Bears Brewery and Restaurant, which has a great patio vibe and great, like, pub comfort food. I mean, it's just like such a great scene here to come and relax after you've been burning all those calories all day.
Yeah, no kidding. Is Lake Louise in your future as well?
Not this trip, but absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's so beautiful. You have to, you have to, you know, and you know, they're also close by, right? So you don't need to just sort of stick to one or the other. I mean, it's really just 40 minutes up the road. But this this trip, we're in and around Banff, so lots of fun.
Well, enjoy it. I'm living vicariously through you this week. Liz's North Americana podcast is available at northamericanapodcast.com or on all major podcast platforms. You could follow along on Instagram at North Americana. Check out lizbeattie.com and nativetraveler.com. Liz, enjoy Banff. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it too, Liz. Thank you.